I have certainly enjoyed this visit. I know all of you have rejoiced greatly in the fellowship that we've shared together. I don't know when I've heard more abler discourses. And it amazes me that to see the wonderful power that God is giving His ministry today. It seems to be the sign of the times. The defense in a modern world with men who are armed for that type of warfare. I believe David was chosen to meet a Goliath on a battlefield that God would give him the victory against the odds. And our battlefields and our giants are no less powerful as when David met Goliath. We have a different type of giant from a different walk of life, but the principles are still the same as far as the enemy and the battle, and it must be won. We can only be champions in Christ, in His power. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the Spirit to the breaking down of strongholds. I love some expressions in the latter part of the book of Ephesians when Paul is dealing in the 6th chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what David was armed with, was the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now Goliath had the armor, and David, as the brother said, was offered the armor of Saul, of which he had not proved. Now doubtless it didn't fit him, as he said. But yet David, while he had on no visible armor, yet he was clothed completely in the armor of God's power and might. Because he had remembered by faith to go back to where God had given him the victory over the beast of the field. That were devouring powers that could have devoured him, but by His hands, God gave him strength to deliver the lamb from the lion and from the bear. God gave him that. We have to go back and go back to where God gave us strength and power in our lives and gave us the victory. When the odds were against us as much as it was against David facing a Goliath in our lives. And we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, brethren, here is the enemy described in different categories. These are armies from every side. like Abraham when he delivering Lot, he met the five armies. And so a lot of times armies are not coming just as one champion to defend them, as was Goliath, but sometimes they come in like a flood. They're coming in from every side. There is a great and terrible principalities. They are even governmental powers that were ordained for our good. And we are subject to those powers that be, and we're to honor them. But when those powers or those principalities are satanically ruled and began to be dominated in the highest places of the land, then we got a real battle. Got a real battle. And that's the reason we ought to be concerned. Who fills offices such as presidents and governors and all these places that, and we should pray for kings and for those in authority. He says that first of all, prayers and supplications may be made for all men. For kings and for they that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. That's our greatest weapon. I know, brethren, to go to the polls and vote is an expression of what you have already committed yourself to in your hearts, the principles for which you stand. It's not whether a man is a Democrat or Republican or nothing like that. Is what he's standing for. What are the principles? When you examine the candidate, what is his principles? What is his platform? Where do he stand? And so therefore we have those type of principalities, and not only in governments, but they do have a lot of weight on what we do and our freedoms. And these principalities and these powers can come down into other forms and drift down into where it can affect our lives in more ways than one. We have a lot of liberty and a lot of freedom today, but I talked with a man who serves in the Congress of the United States, and he told me, he said, you never know how many battles we fight in trying to preserve the liberties that we all take for granted. So there's many debates held in those high places about these liberties and these freedoms that we have today. And those battles are going on. And you know, I think about it, brethren, and I don't like to take to the street for anything. I feel like that there should be and there must be and ought to be a better way for all of us. But I can't help but still take my hat off to these people who will go out here at these abortion clinics and lie down in the street and let them haul them away to jail and things like that. Now, that's not my way, or the way that I think that we ought to do things in that kind of a battle. But there again, they are at least doing something. What am I doing? Am I making a roadblock in any way? Am I even a mental block somewhere? Am I doing something to block something off somewhere else? If I won't lie down in front of an automobile, I could lay down in front of a guy that's crazy with the devil. You know what I mean? I could block him off some other way by standing against. Let them know wherever we stand, wherever our position is, that we are a soldier. We stand up. And brethren, this nation is giving away in too many places. We are not standing up and speaking. We are not letting our voice be heard. It has been heard in the past. You say, well, now there's a, you know, separation of church and state. But brethren, that don't mean separating God from state. You know, the great men of the past, and we've had great preachers, and their voices was heard, my friend. They was heard even in the Congress and other places. But their voices was heard. And it wouldn't be bad if God would even raise up now men that would have a voice in these things. And I tell you this, when you've got a voice in those things, there's somebody out there to get you. I'll tell you that. There are the Goliaths out there. And I think our dear brother Hunt is going through that. A lot of that. He's finding that in his battle. But nevertheless, we should pray the more that he would be delivered because of the name of Christ and the Church of God in the world. We need to be praying for that. But then, friend, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, they come in like a flood, brother. And there are so many things that are creeping in. And men's minds are being diverted away from truth and principles and righteousness and wrong is not wrong anymore. It just is camouflaged and diluted in such a fashion. But it's a common thing now in the world that we live in that such unrighteousness has such a prevailing influence. And such things as, and I know this, and I see this, a lot of this, homosexuality, and men that get in high places and come to find out there is great support, far more support for that kind of that did. It's an alternate lifestyle, and it's all right for you to participate and come in. And even, I reckon, to be head of the Boy Scouts. and be that kind of a person. I tell you, we need, my friend, to speak out against these things and let people know. And you can do that in your community. You can do that as a godly woman in your home when your voice is to be heard to your daughters and to a father to his son and these voices in all homes and all places and in business. I've been asked in my own business, and with my business associates, what are my beliefs about certain things? And I have told them, I wasn't trying to preach to them, but I've told them, I said, we do not believe in that. I do not believe a certain issue that is right. I had a man not too long ago, he is deceased since that time, but, his father was a Primitive Baptist years ago. And he was now a deacon in a different denomination, and he was asking me, he says, we got a big issue in our church. He says, now, I know that you don't have any jurisdiction over my church or anything like that, but says, I'm here at the crossroads. I got to make a decision, and I need some help, and I got a lot of respect for Primitive Baptists, and I know you're a minister. I said, what is your problem? He says, well, they're talking about ordaining a woman. Now, he's a Baptist. I mean, a formal Baptist. And he says, they're thinking about ordaining a woman to preach. He said, what do you think? I said, well, if she could meet the first qualification. He said, well, now just what is that, you know? He didn't know a thing in the world about that. And I said, she's the husband of one wife. And he said, well, he said, yeah, well, I reckon she can meet that then. I said, you do tell them that. I said, go tell them that. It seemed like a small thing, but that's a big thing. There is coming in the all these issues, my friend. It's not like the little boy just throwing the rock through the window. That's bad to break out the window light from the outside, but you can repair that and maybe correct that and stop that. But I tell you, termites. Let me tell you, I deal with houses a lot of time, and maybe a lot of times they're looking just fine. The glasses are, windows are all fixed, the doors look nice and everything, but the floor, the foundation's about to fall out from under them. The termites have eaten them up. And so I tell you, this is what happens a lot of times. The termites are eating away, and they don't make any racket. They ain't like a ball against the window pane or nothing like that, but they're just gnawing away on the very most vital things in the structure of this house. I saw one house, and they found termites that back here on the back. They said, well, we can fix that. We can take that seal out and put it. When it went on up, it eat all the way up through to the roof of the house. And just couldn't see it from the other outer coating of siding was on the house. They had eaten all of the studs all the way up to the top of the roof. And so I tell you, better get a termite. I'm not in the termite business, but you get your house treated. But I tell you this, we need to examine about the termites. And I tell you this, brethren, this is this kind of spiritual wickedness in high places. And how much higher place can you get in the world of Christendom where Christ is being named, and also in the kingdom of God, in the church of the living God? Brethren, it is important that we watch when men begin to deviate from the truth. And he says, well, he means well, he looks good, he acts nice, he's good and morally clean, and all of these things. But I tell you, my friend, if he's preaching a rotten doctrine or advocating, he sometimes won't even get in your pulpit and preach it, but he'll go in the homes of your members. That's a termite. I tell you, you're talking about a term. He's in among your members and talking these things and telling them things and poisoning their minds with these kind of things. And so you need to watch that and get your gun out to spray and you know whatever you need to get rid of this. And so it is that it may deter this in every way you can. And so, but anyway, I don't want to take up a lot of time here today, but I want to say this, that I was thinking about David as his brother brought that out, and I've mentioned this before, and I feel like I need to mention this along with the idea, because a man one day walked in the little grocery store where I was working, you know, and he had his collar turned around backwards, you know, And he walked in a black suit, the white collar turned around this way, and he says, they tell me you are a minister of the gospel. Now, here I stood with an apron and my sleeves rolled up to my elbows, you know, and I'd been trying to dress the meat box back there in the back, you know, and I walked out to see if I could help him, and he says, they tell me you are a minister. I said, well, they say that maybe. And he says, what is your theology? He says, what is your theology? I said, well, I don't know. He said, before I could say anything else, he says, well, I'm a DD and a DDLD. And he began to talk, and he's full of DDT, I think. But he had all of these letters and titles. But he said, now, what did you say your theology was? I said, mine's like little David's. He said, hey, what is that? I said, mine's all neology and not so much theology. And so I believe when David went down by that brook to gather those five smooth stones, my friend, there he went by the brook of the revelation of Almighty God. I believe, my friend, from those flowing waters making smooth the stones of eternal truth, floating from the throne of Almighty God. Here was a humble shepherd boy bowing down by this brook, picking up these five smooth stones. My friend, he didn't need but one of them then, but he had, old Goliath had some brothers, you know. And so he was prepared for his brothers. And so here he was, he gathered the five smooth stones and placed them in this shepherd's bag. And I believe every man that God Almighty has called to preach the gospel has got a shepherd's bag. He's got a place to put those stones. He's got a mine to treasure them up in and place them. And he's got to get that, my friend, on his knees by the brook of the revelation of God and begging God to help me and to give me the grace and the power that I may know and understand these things. I love to study, and I need to study, and I want to study, and all of us need to study. But, brethren, we also need this. We need to keep the power in our preaching. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's good to educate me, but feed me a little bit. I tell you, I want my soul as well as my mind to be educated. I want my soul to be fed. I want the inner part of my heart. I want to feel something within my soul. I want to not only hear about Christ, but I want to feel Christ and the power of His resurrection. I want to know that He's alive and that I can eat of the bread of life. I can drink it. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I can commune with Him at the communion table. I can eat the unleavened bread. I can drink the wine. And I can even pour the water in a basin and get out and wash my brother's feet. But dear brethren, I want to eat of Christ. I want to eat of His flesh. I want to know of Him in His power. I want to feel that in my soul. I want to know there's a reality. And rather than I tell you the gospel of the Son of God, is something in power. And when David went down and got those fire smooth stones and placed them in that shepherd bag, he had them there ready. And I believe all of us need to ask God to give us the wisdom and the knowledge. And we place those things, those great truths in our little shepherd bag. We treasure them up in our mind. In the day when we meet the giant and he comes out and says he'll feed us to the birds, and all like that. But here's little David standing in the fear of Almighty God and being directed by the Spirit of God. He reaches into the shepherd bag and then he's got this sling, not a slingshot. I used to have a slingshot, a little forked stick, but he had a coupling and a long leather strap. And this was the type of sling that David used. And he reached in and put that smooth stone in the coupling. And then, like all old Baptist preachers, I believe that's what little David was. He put that stone in that coupling and he began to go around with it. Just like this. And I believe if you ever use a stone properly in preaching the gospel, you're going to make that circle. And if you can't throw it, Benjaminites, my friend, they were all left-handed, but they could hit within a hair's breadth, my friend. And so it was when, in slinging this stone, he placed it in the coupling and he came around with it. And I believe he went back before the foundation of the world. Brother, if you don't know anything about before the foundation of the world, by God's truth, an everlasting covenant that was ordered in all things and made sure, and that Jesus Christ promised the Father before the world began, that He would come into the world and redeem everyone that the Father gave Him. If you don't know, my friend, they were His in the mind and purpose of God, and His by covenant, and His in love before the world was ever made. You'll never preach the gospel of the Son of God. And therefore, He goes back before the foundation of the world and shows that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. Of all which the Father has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise up it again at the last day. And brother, he comes on around by Calvary's cross and say, everyone that was given by the Father to the Son died for them. I believe He died for the elect. And at Calvary's cross, when Jesus died, He laid down His life for everyone that the Father gave Him. And then He comes on around. And then he comes on around by the glorious work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, that everyone that was given in the covenant and was redeemed at Calvary's cross will be effectually called by the Holy Spirit of God. And when that stone goes out, my friend, it landed right between the eyes of this theological giant and hit him in the head where his religion was at, and he went down. My friend, he went down. If it hit him in the heart, it bounced off. But he hit him in the head. And so, and then he took his sword and cut his head off. And so this was, he took his own theological sword and cut his head off. And so he decapitated him. And so, my friend, that's the way we have won the victory in these things. And so, I love this attitude. I believe that this is the way we win the battle in the kingdom of God. We go forth in the humility of David, as the brother has said, in this attitude as ministers. And I believe, of course, Christ came and did the same thing as the brother said. He did the same thing in fighting the greatest giant. That was the devil. He fought him right here on the battleground. Right where we lost the battle is where he won the battle for us. He came into the world. We lost it in the world. We lost it in Adam. And he came right there in the world and won the battle for us, my friend. He didn't win it in the heavens. He won it on the earth. He won it at Calvary's cross. That's where he won the battle for us. That's where he died for us, at Calvary's cross, and paid the debt. And brother, I believe everyone Christ died for, heaven's going to be their home without the loss of one. And I love sound preaching, live sound doctrine. I started preaching this in 1944 when I united with the church. And I've never had any desire to change it. I do want to change it. I want to keep on preaching it. And I do not want men to defy that and come along and try to bring some deviation in that. I love it like it is. And not only do I love the great doctrine, my friend, but I love the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something else. I love this kingdom, this visible kingdom, the organized church of Jesus Christ. I love it. I believe in it. I believe the Lord led me to His banqueting house. His banner over me was love. I found the fellowship with His people. And I had that experience. The Lord gave me that. And I am not going to deny it. I believe in the visible and organized church of God. If I didn't believe in that, my friends, I wouldn't try to encourage anybody else to come in. If I'm standing on the fence, well, I don't know whether it's a church or not. I don't know whether it's an organized church or not. Maybe one's as good as another one. You know, one baptism's as good as another. And my friend, let me tell you one thing. I believe in the order of God's house. I believe God has a kingdom. He established it by Jesus Christ. And I believe that kingdom is separate from this world. And you cannot carry out the order of the New Testament without believing in that. You know, I spent a day with the man and his family, a wonderful man, a man that was on the radio preaching, you know, but he pulled his family out of all organized religion, and he was saying there wasn't anything such as an organized church anymore. All of them is everybody's just born. If you're born again, you're in the church, you know. Well, I believe in the invisible aspect of the church, and from that standpoint, the called out, the redeemed. But this man was saying that was the only church there was. And I tried to reason with him best I could. I talked with him the best I could, but I didn't know what I was getting to him or not. But that night, he came to my appointment. And so the little church where I was laboring, they were having a little problem among them. And so my mind got off of this preacher and all of this, and I began to preach about the problem there, and I got into the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew dealing with private trespasses and how members ought to treat one another, and how if one has a trespass against another, ought to go to him and go to him alone, and if you won't hear him, then take two more, and if you won't hear him, then take it to the church, and if you won't hear the church, then let him be as a publican or heathen man. Well, I was just on the subject. But I looked out there, and that preacher was going like a neon light. He was just flashing, you know. His color was coming and going, you know. And I said, well, what am I saying to affect that man? But, you know, I couldn't have used I wasn't even thinking about him. But I couldn't have used a better text in the whole Bible to preach the order of the visible church. You see, right there, what I was saying, if what he was talking about was true, everybody born again is in the church. Then somebody trespasses against somebody, and you go out and say, you trespassed against me. Be forgiven here, or ask for forgiveness, or so forth. He said, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. Well, I go get two more. Who are you going to go get your two neighbors around? Getting around next block and not even a member or anything like that. You go get them and then bring them over here and talk to the man about it. Okay, you just get two other people and bring them over and talk to the man. Then where are you going? There ain't no organized church. How are you going to discipline that man? How are you going to get him to where you won't have to commune with him or fellowship with him? There ain't no place to take him. Well, my friend, God judges them that are without. So there's got to be a visible, organized Church of Jesus Christ in the world, my friend. And we must believe that. We must believe it so strongly, because the New Testament cannot be fulfilled in organization and these things. Withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. If you have no organized church, where is your discipline? How can you discipline any man? When Paul was talking about the fornicator in the 5th chapter of Corinthians, and he says, put this wicked man from among you. God judges them that are without, but you judge them that are within. So my friend, all of these things are true in this regard. So we must believe, we must admit in the visible, in the organized Church of Jesus Christ. And then, brethren, we definitely believe this. While we believe in the visible church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and all these wonderful things, then we certainly believe there's God's children in every family. There's God's children in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every people, and I believe there's some in every denomination. I joined one myself, folks. I had a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. I never did get baptized, but almost. I at least joined, and would have been. Sister was telling me today she joined something else, and she had a happy experience in her baptism. And I believe that can happen to people. I believe people in the sincerity of their hearts can join something that is maybe not orthodox in every way, and yet the sincerity of their hearts, they get an answer of a good conscience in that sense in their own heart, in their own mind, because they do that in faith. But brethren, in order, when you find the church and see the church, it's just like this individual said, well, I don't want to be baptized again. I don't want to go through that. And he says, well, I think his wife had died and he was courting, he's thinking about getting married again. He said, well, I suggest then this woman that you're planning on marrying. Oh yes, we're seriously thinking about getting married. He said, well, I suggest you just tell her that you already been married once and y'all got your ceremony. You still got the old papers you used to have. And you'll go get them out of the safe. And we'll just start living together. I said, really, what she'd say? She wouldn't put up with that. Wouldn't put up with that. My friend, that's the same thing. In the gospel sense, you may individually have been as honest and sincere as anybody ever could be in joining something else and did what you could. But, brethren, when you see the virtue of the true church of God in this world and you recognize it as such, then you must in your own life then, in order to enjoy it, find the benefits of it, you must come and comply with those things. And I love this church at Cincinnati because, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. When they prayed those 30 nights and asked God the way to Zion, long before they met any of us, they were seeking the way of God that they may walk in that way. Sincere and honest in that. And as God led them through different channels and different ways, I had a little part in it, several other good men had parts in it, and they went out and listened to others, and all of it coming together to the wonderful work of God. And I believe here in Cincinnati, Ohio,
is one of the most outstanding historical marks. It will go down in the history of our nation as one of the most outstanding things that has happened, at least in this century, how the Lord has brought and banned the people. Not just for the Cincinnati church. And brethren, it's wonderful for you to have been brought. And you know, Brother Brad, I'm glad you let them, the members come around and shake hands and go to the kitchen, you know, to wait on us. But they came through first, through the line. And I got to see them more or less in a group as they was coming through. And got to shake the hands. And I remember some that wasn't there, that used to be here, that's gone. Some used to be young and active, and now they're old. But, brethren, I could see in the faces of those dear ones as they come by. They love Christ. They love this kingdom. They made great sacrifices and still make great sacrifices. Not just for Cincinnati Church, brethren, but the ministry of Cincinnati Church is nationwide. It's nationwide. And more than nationwide, it's worldwide. And I believe it's for a purpose in our day, in our time. And I think all of us ought to think seriously about this and give our lives more to helping and supporting this cause. Not that we're just promoting. I went over to see the new building. Nice to have a nice building. But, brethren, I wasn't looking at Cincinnati Church as just a building for Cincinnati members. I was seeing a ministry. I was seeing a ministry to reach men and women, boys and girls, and people in many parts of the world. I tell you, I could feel that in my soul. And I thank God for it. And brethren, we ought to pray for this and pray for this effort. And I appreciate you ministers that come and are sacrificing for this. You're on the battlefield. The Lord is blessing you. And I pray that you'll continue to do so. And I don't know what happened. I'm not a prophet. In the next 9 years, a lot of things could happen if the world's still standing. But probably we're going to see some of the worst events in history transpiring in the next few years. But I believe we're going to see some of the most glorious things. Now, I may be going on. I'm pushing on up there, you see. I may not be around. But I tell you one thing. I'm glad I'm still around. I'm glad I'm enjoying some of it. And I was sitting by there this morning. I got there almost crying. I said, I don't know if I see my just falling. I just felt like I wanted to cry. I was so happy. I was just so happy that God has let me share in this wonderful fellowship. Brother, I could have been born in a land or in a country. Yes, I could have been born in a land. And when I left that land to go to heaven, God could have carried me from that land into eternal glory, which had been wonderful. But brethren, He's let me share. What did He let me share? He let me be born in a part of His world where the faith has been preached. God bless you. Thank you.